ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Ryan Hockensmith, when you try and write a profile of an athlete, and I remember this from my own magazine writing days, you try and develop some sort of unifying, comprehensive theory of the person, and it is NFL draft season right now, and you have the task of profiling and explaining to America Aiden Hutchinson, the guy that is projected to be the number one overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars next week. This defensive end, this star out of Michigan. But the way you went to structure your story here, it feels a little different. How'd you wind up with the approach that you did?
Well, for certain stories, you realize halfway through the reporting, like, maybe I should just, like, get out of the way and let the stories unfold themselves. And so I noticed when I was interviewing people about Aiden Hutchinson, almost everybody had, like, 3, 4, 5 good anecdotes about him. And as I listened to these stories of Aiden Hutchinson, I realized that if you put just these single small stories together, they tell the big story of him. This is a guy who built himself into a top recruit, went to Michigan, his lifelong dream, became a star at Michigan, an All-American defensive lineman, destroyed Ohio State to get Michigan to the college football playoff, win their biggest game of the year, and turn into a Heisman finalist as a senior.
Four-man rush. They still pressure Morris, and Hutchinson takes him down. What a half for Aiden Hutchinson.
And I guess if there's one unifying theory, the thing that really jumped out at me as I talked to everybody was how startling it was that of all of these things he's done, so many of them, he at one point in his life wrote down on a piece of paper that he was going to do it. And the idea of this guy, all these stories about him, that he basically scripted, is a fascinating human being. And it's a fascinating look at the idea of coming up with goals and not letting them be passing thoughts. Let them be your guiding principles. And that's the story of Aiden Hutchinson.
At 21 years old, Aiden Hutchinson is a terrifying person. He stands 6'6", weighs 265 pounds, has a 36-inch vertical, runs 3-cone drills like a slot receiver, and he is, to quote the love language of NFL scouts, a freak. But even more eye-opening than Hutchinson's draft stock, and many have him going number one overall to Jacksonville, is the peculiar way this pass rusher got himself to this point. So today, Ryan Hockensmith tells the story of Michigan's Aiden Hutchinson, a story that was authored methodically and prophetically by Aiden Hutchinson himself. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, April 21st. This is ESPN Daily. Ryan Hockensmith, were you a kid who like wrote in a diary growing up? Did you keep journals, as I guess boys would call them?
Yeah, you're talking to a huge diary dork right now. I went to a high school graduation when I was a kid, and I heard the speaker say, he cited a study that 80% of all people who write down a specific goal every day for a year will achieve that goal. And so I immediately went home and started writing that I will be a national sports writer by age 27. And I'm 44 now, but yeah, I totally did it.
But you seriously did this. You wrote that at age 27, you would be a national sports writer.
Yeah, I mean, to be specific, I said I would be a staff writer at Sports Illustrated by age 27. And I got hired at ESPN when I was 23. So I sort of did it.
Yeah. And I mean, it puts me to shame as someone who, by the way, did actually work at Sports Illustrated, but never had the balls to predict as much. Like, I mean, Ryan, to be honest, like, I loved buying journals, but I never had the follow through. Like, I had the idea of myself as a real meticulous diary keeper, a fulfiller of prophecies, and then got too lazy to actually put my dreams to paper.
Hey, I did the same thing, though. I mean, my mom had yard sales where it was just my journals I never cracked open. So I feel you. But the idea of writing things down is just so interesting. It's such a different, it's a transaction. It changes the way that you think about a goal of yours. It turns from a passing thought in your head into something that feels very real and is a guiding principle every single day. And so it was a part of my life. And then whenever I stumbled upon that part of the Hutchinson story, I was like, oh man, this is really cool. I mean, I have never competed for the Heisman Trophy. So I think my goals were a little smaller, but the principle of that idea that by writing something down, you are sending an email to yourself via a piece of paper, like, I want this to happen.
Yeah, the idea of your past self predicting your future, committing to it, the psychology of that, it is something that Aidan Hutchinson, who, for those uninitiated, I mean, this is an absolute monster of a young man, a defensive end who is the terror of the state of Ohio, a guy who seems like the future savior, potentially, of the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. It sounds like this young man was especially precocious when it came to his journals.
Oh, he very much so. And his parents are a fascinating mix, just very well-rounded, very interesting people on their own. And his mom is a huge journaler. She just really believes in the idea of, they use this word quite a bit, which is the idea of manifesting things for yourself. And Aidan uses that word a lot, and it came from his mom.
That's definitely something that me and my mom definitely have in common. Especially even growing up, I mean, we're both very visual learners. We got to see it down on a piece of paper in order to really learn it. Or, you know, if you're writing a goal, you got to write it, you know, in pen with your own handwriting on something. And yeah, I think that's kind of something that we always shared, especially, you know, when I was growing up.
She told me this anecdote that I include in the story about his first journal, where he would sit, he would sit on the front porch and draw pictures of Star Wars characters. Yoda, Chewbacca, Luke Skywalker, General Grievous.
Wait. And General Grievous, Ryan. Look, I wasn't drafted by the NFL, but I was a Star Wars nerd and remain one. The idea that a young kid grew up with General Grievous to me is jarring. That's a prequel character from like 2005.
General Kenobi. You are a bold one.
I had to look up a lot of the references. I'm a Star Wars person too, but I was just like, wait, who's this guy?
And he's so also very hard to draw, also, yeah, for the record here. Just like lots of metallic arms spinning weapons around. Anyway, the point is that he was doing this with his mom at age 4?
Yeah, the incredible part when she told me this story was that this was something they shared together. He would draw the picture. And honestly, she said to me later, listen, they were like kind of stick figures with a helmet on top. So like I sort of said, that must be General Grievous. So he would draw the little picture and then she would write the name of the character beneath it. And it was this thing that this exchange that a mom and her son had, that like all parents want to have that thing they have with their kid. And they had it.
So his mom, Melissa, ends up developing this connection with him through journaling, which we'll return to in a second here, Ryan. But I need to ask about his dad, Chris, because that's the person who I think you'd naturally assume a story about a star football player might start with.
That's one of the things that became apparent after talking to his parents, is just what a beautiful mix of both of them are within Aidan Hutchinson. Chris is like multiple characters blended into one. I mean, he was an All-American, great defensive end at Michigan, among the all-time leaders in sacks.
Third down and 6 from the 19. Hartlieb under pressure, and he steps. Chris Hutchinson, 97, the senior from Houston, Texas, was the man to get to him.
You know, wore the number 97, won a Rose Bowl. He was a prototypical star football player, had some injuries, walked away from football, and after college, he's an emergency room doctor. He's a brilliant medical professional, and he actually delivered Aiden, who was similar in size to what he is right now, apparently 11 pounds, 1 ounce, pretty big kid. But it's not as simple as like, oh, you know, great defensive end from Michigan produces a great defensive end from Michigan. There were a lot of twists and turns.
I mean, Ryan, when you hand a journalist the story of a football player, a college star at Michigan, delivering his own son, literally, like at the hospital, it seems like you draw a pretty straight line from A to B in terms of, oh yeah, this is where the football comes from. This is how this all is supposed to go.
Yeah, that's actually a terrible take, Pablo. It's completely not how it played out. His parents didn't let him play football for the first 11 years of his life. Not until he was in seventh grade was he allowed to play football. He did lots of other things. One of them, most interestingly, was I think he took a lot of competitive dance classes.
Wait. Dance classes, but also competitive dance. I'm not so familiar with this part of the template for NFL draft prospects. How did this work?
I got to tell you, it sounded like a really good template. The more I talked to football coaches about what it did for Aiden, his sisters were really good at dance. They're a couple years older, and he would go and sit at the classes, and his mom and dad said that they could see it in his face that he was like, I should do this. I could be good at this. But he couldn't quite pull the trigger. And they, in my story, I detail one day there was a kid with a really cool mohawk, and he was just like, whoa, this guy has a mohawk. He can dance and he has a mohawk. I think I might be in. And then he was hooked, and he was really good at it. He liked being there with his sisters. He also liked the pressure. I mean, a dance performance is a sporting event.
No, it was very legit. I mean, we'd go around to a bunch of regional competitions throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, we'd go to a national competition. So, I mean, it was very competitive.
One of the things his mom and dad kept saying is like, you think audibling before the snap of a football is hard? You try having a choreographer come up and be like, you know, we're not going to do that dance that way that we've been practicing for 6 weeks. Let's do it this way. And you're on in 5 minutes. That's what Aiden was doing as a little boy. And he was really good at it. Really good.
Being around just those street dancers, they were so cool. And those were guys that I really looked up to. You know, when I was in third grade, and I mean, I thought they were so cool, and you know, they are cool because of what they do and the way they dance, the, you know, hip hop and stuff.
One of the things that came up when I was talking to the football coaches was every one of them said you could see the dance.
Wait, how can you see the dance in this monster that I see sacking quarterbacks?
Well, like Don Brown was his defensive coordinator at Michigan, and he said something to me. He said, you know, you got to understand with defensive linemen, they snap the ball, and then there's just like a lot of 300-pound people coming from every direction towards you, and you can get chipped just a little bit off balance, and then you get mowed, you just get run over. And one of the things he kept saying about Aiden is just the way that he anchors to the ground. He's very tall for, I mean, he's in the 6'7", 6'6" range. To be able to not get mowed down every single play, Don Brown was like, you can see the dance in him out there. You know, he doesn't let guys get under his pads. And I just, the more I watched football clips after that, the more I was just like, oh, it's defensive end. There's an element of it that is ballet. It's ballet with pads
on. Yeah.
I think it laid the foundation for me at a very young age in terms of balance and a little bit of flexibility, but a lot of, you know, balance and core and things like that.
Yeah, I love the idea of a crusty football scout going, yeah, this kid was a dancer. I can smell it. And that being like an awesome thing.
Well, it's kind of cool that it is that these guys were saying it, because you can just imagine a different era where it's like, well, he gets distracted, you know, and does other stuff other than football. And these people, it helps that this guy is, he's an incredible football player, just an incredible player.
So I guess the logical question here is, when does he actually turn his attention away from competitive dance and towards the actual game of football?
His parents broke down and let him play flag football for a couple years before that. And he got pretty good. He was actually the quarterback, a left-handed quarterback. When I interviewed him, he was like, and we won the Super Bowl that year. And I was like, he was nine, but he could have been talking about beating Ohio State. So he had this like incredible competitiveness. And they knew, like when his parents were talking about it, like they knew he was going to eventually come to football. And sure enough, he did. And It's an amazing story. It's maybe my favorite part to the whole story, which is that when he was 11 and he was, you know, in the fifth grade, he told his dad, I'm going to play football and I'm going to do it at the University of Michigan someday. And his dad was like, oh, okay, that's great. Good luck with that, son. And, you know, Chris had played at Michigan and set the single season sack record for Michigan. He knows the percentages of a kid who's 11 years old and has not played football before. The idea that he would actually get to the University of Michigan and follow in his dad's footsteps, the quote from Chris was, "Aw, that's so cute." And that's how they thought. It was just a cute little thing.
But how does this whole thing go from cute to, like, reality?
Well, it's a recurring theme in the story of Aiden deciding something and then everybody around him going, oh, he's totally going to do this. Oh, my God. That's what happened. Over the next week, Chris watched him slowly move a bunch of stuff into his own room.
The Star Wars figurines get pushed to the side, is what you're saying.
A little bit off to the side, yeah. The drawings of the drawings of Jar Jar Binks took a backseat to all of the stuff that he brought in. But he started carrying in his dad's Rose Bowl jersey, his Big Ten title rings. He has a ticket stub from an Ohio State game that they went to together.
I grabbed his Rose Bowl jersey. I grabbed his Big Ten championship rings. They were all in the basement, and I brought them up, put them in my room, just, you know, so I had something to look forward to.
And the most important item, though, was a single piece of paper. He had taken that thing he said to his dad and written it down on a piece of paper. I will play football at the University of Michigan. And he stuck it on the mirror. And his dad, when he kind of got done with it, his dad walked past and what he saw was, it was basically an incubation lab that Aiden Hutchinson had built for himself. And that's when Chris was like, oh, maybe this kid's actually going to will himself into this someday.
Yeah, maybe this kid, his journaling is actually something that's very, very serious to him.
It's exactly right. It's just, you know, step one is sort of having this idea for yourself. And then step two is like, I'm doing it and this is how I'm going to do it. And, you know, it's really hard to get an 11-year-old to focus on anything for more than, I don't know, 14 seconds. And so
correct.
The minute he saw it click into place of like a piece of paper that is carefully taped above my old jersey, he was like, oh boy, okay, we're doing this.
Well, in terms of the doing of it, I mean, look, I understand that lots of kids have dreams, lots of kids say stuff, but the actual doing of the stuff, the fulfilling of the prophecy, Ryan, describe that path for Aiden Hutchinson as he goes to, you know, the level of really high-level D1 football recruit.
I've never had the experience where I talk to a kid's high school coaches and they're just like, yeah, pretty unimpressed. The first time, like I sort of remember it. I think it was like this summer at the track. We had all these kids come in. He was a normal size kid, pretty athletic, worked really hard. No questions about that. Very smart. But he was just like kind of another kid. They were like, OK, he's going to be a good player. And maybe he walks on at a Division I school someday. And even as a sophomore, he was 6'2", 200 pounds, which is a good size kid, but not on a football field. That's kind of how every kid looks.
Yeah, and that's not Big Ten caliber meat.
No, it's totally like Central Michigan walk-on or something, right? But then, you know, there were some funny stories about he had a pretty significant growth spurt heading into his junior year. He blew up from around 6'2", 200 to 6'6", 230 or so. One of his coaches told a funny story where he walked past the classroom and Aiden didn't really fit behind the desk in the classroom. So they had lined up this chair beside the desk and he kind of like leaned over and did his work over top of the desk.
Wait, he had to ride sidecar on his own desk?
Yes. Yeah. That was the moment whenever the coaches there were like, oh, all of these positive things about him. Now he's built like a 6'6", 230-pound 16-year-old. That is a potential Big Ten player.
And so he's playing defensive end from the start here, or what's he doing?
He played a little bit of everything. I think the coaches early on in his career thought he was going to be a really good offensive lineman. But he just, when he got to 6'6", 230, with his foot skills. And I mean, here comes the ballet part of it. He just was unstoppable as a defensive lineman. But his coaches kept saying he played like almost every position on the field. Like he was even like a good, he had like a good kicking leg. And they wanted him to focus on defensive end. And that's kind of where the college recruiters saw him. And he emerged as a four-star recruit with getting offers from all over the country.
And it's worth pointing out here, the University of Michigan is his dad's alma mater and also his mom's alma mater, Ryan. So when does Ann Arbor enter the equation?
Well, his coaches and his dad were like laughing because he took visits to different places, including Ohio State. And the whole time they're like riding to these campuses and they're like, Aiden, I mean, we know you're going to Michigan. Come on. Like, what the heck? And his dad was like, well, you know, I want him to experience everything. This is his own call. His dad was really cool about that. Like, I don't need you to go to Michigan. I don't need you to go wear my number. I don't need you to do any of that stuff. And so they looked all over, but eventually, February of 2017, as required by law now for all recruits in sports, he went on Twitter and he said, I am going to Michigan.
So after the break, we find out how at Michigan, Aiden Hutchinson goes from Wolverine star Chris Hutchinson's kid to Chris being known as Aiden Hutchinson's dad.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So Ryan, we now have Aiden Hutchinson in Ann Arbor. He has arrived at his predetermined destination of the University of Michigan. And now that he's here and he's a freshman and he's away from home for the first time, how does he approach all of this?
Well, he never deviated in his approach. You know, his mom told... It was a very heartwarming anecdote. She said, you know, she thought, here he is. He's 18 years old. He's gone off to live by himself. Being a Big Ten football player is a full-time job in addition to going to class and all that other stuff. And so she thought, well, it was a nice little story I have about the first chapter of his life where we had this journaling thing. And then he said, Mom, I need some journals to take with me to Michigan. And she just was so moved by that. And so she gave him some journals and some things. She called them goal sheets, but it was basically the same premise, is that I'm going to set goals for myself and I'm going to write them down. I'm going to say them to myself. I'm going to stare at them every day. This is going to be my business card in my dorm room. And so he wrote down things like, I want to be an All-American. I want to run a sub 4.7 40. I want to weigh 270 pounds, wanted to beef up a little bit.
Orion, I'm imagining being another kid in this dorm, and I'm seeing these notes, and I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, normally, you're supposed to have like a Tupac poster. Like, who is this kid declaring all these things about himself?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe you have some General Grievous drawings, tops, but like, the idea that you would be so focused, hyper-focused on a goal as an 18-year-old, he definitely said the vibe was like, okay, look at this kid, right? Like, okay, you're one of 20 to 25 kids coming in here who thinks he's going to be a superstar at Michigan. We'll see. We'll see. And there was one goal of his that he would write down on a post-it because it was so preposterous that it kept disappearing. And no, he wasn't sure it would lift this note. But it was just, it was so ridiculous to everyone who saw it that apparently people just would run off with it. And so he would have to write it down again. He didn't even mind that. The idea, the motion of writing it down again didn't bother him at all. And the goal that kept disappearing was the goal of, I will win the Heisman Trophy.
I had that thing up in my freshman year dorms. on the walls, and you know, people I had definitely guys come in and laugh a little bit, see it, because I had it posted on the wall. I mean, that just goes to show kind of where my mentality has always been. You know, whether I'm coming in, I'm a second string on Michigan football, I'm still writing those kind of things on the wall.
I mean, it's preposterous, the idea that a defensive player would aspire to this.
It's totally like going back to when he was 11 years old. It was the same reaction that his dad. Oh, it's so cute. You know, how about you be an astronaut, too? You want to go to Mars? You know, it was like sort of that treatment. And it was ridiculous. And kids would make off with it. And he would just, you know what? He'd just write it down again. When he was telling me about it, he quotes his mom, who said to him, you know, if they don't laugh, you're not dreaming big enough. And that is like such an interesting quote as it applies to Aiden Hutchinson, because, you know, there's only one guy, maybe a few people in the running every year to be the number one draft pick in the NFL draft. And Aiden Hutchinson, that's going to be me someday. And here we are. It might happen.
Yeah, I know. It's a wild mixture of confidence and hope. Honestly, like, I think a lot of us get that beaten out of us by cynicism at this point. But on the field, how does this dream seem to be developing as he's writing all of this down and trying to will it into existence?
Well, it was eerily similar to his freshman and sophomore years in high school, where his coaches were like, okay, we really like this kid. He's good. Special teams. He's a good plug-and-play guy on the line, but like maybe not a superstar. There was a lot of question marks about him. He was very tall and lean, and you know, you forget an 18-year-old versus a 22-year-old is actually like a huge difference. Don Brown said that. It's like, it's really hard for a freshman to come in, and here's a guy, you know, he was going against linemen every day who had 3 years in a weight room. And so, but he came in, he was determined, and he played all 13 games, had 15 tackles, and he was a rookie of the year on defense for Michigan. Again, it wasn't any, nobody was like, okay, this guy, get him to the draft. This guy is going to be the number one pick. It wasn't quite there yet. So, you know, and he just continued to get better then as a sophomore. He started every game, won some awards for his role on the team, and paired with Kwity Paye, who ended up being a first round pick from the Colts. You started to see, that was the moment again where the coaches were like, oh, wow, okay. This guy who writes down all of this really impressive stuff is turning into his post-it notes.
They'll give it to him, and he's ambushed before he can get back to the line of scrimmage. Nicely done, Aiden Hutchinson, the sophomore from Plymouth.
But the thing, obviously, that he did not predict, Ryan, is what happens in 2020 when everyone's life is shut down here. The world is shut down here. The pandemic occurs. How did Aiden handle that part of the story?
Yeah, it was a messy, messy situation. You know, Michigan canceled its spring game. They had one of those international trips that Jim Harbaugh likes to do, canceled. The Big Ten, you know, in August announced they're not going to play. And then obviously Ryan, that got reversed. And it was also an interesting factor in Aiden Hutchinson's story that his father was in the emergency rooms every day. And so he was literally on the front lines of this thing. So he was at his parents' house, like most college football players then, working out, trying to figure out where this was all going to happen. And eventually, as we know, the Big Ten reversed its decision. And in mid-September, they played a shortened conference-only schedule. But then even once the season got rolling, Aiden, in the third game of the year against Indiana, he limped off the field. He walked off, but his parents were sitting there and they thought, oh, you know, he must have twisted his ankle or something. But went to the back, got x-rays. It was a broken ankle, to their surprise. And they pulled Chris and Melissa Hutchinson out of the stands and brought him down. And Chris, actually, he's the rare football father who's like, let me see those x-rays. And so they
I can
him,
actually read the x-rays. Yeah, yes, like, you can interpret them. Yeah.
Here's your second opinion, doctor. So he took the x-rays, and Chris, when he talks about it, it's funny because he was like, he looked at the x-rays and like, oh, thank God, it's a clean break. And it's like, oh, my, really? And he said, no, that's, you know, it was a clean break, and which means it can be a clean healing also. And so at that point, Aiden had shown enough on the field that this was one of those stories that started popping up on draft radars, because Aiden Hutchinson at that point, he was somebody that was going to eventually be a high first round potential draft pick.
So Ryan, as his dad is on the front lines of the pandemic and Aiden is dealing with his broken ankle and is now just laid up at home, as clean as that break is, how does he handle this? I mean, if he's in the middle of like a pretty staggering rise to being a prospect and suddenly he can't do anything.
Yeah, he took it really hard. You know, he's had a couple setbacks in his life, and each time he takes 24 hours and then he's okay. But in this instance, he was really down.
I mean, it was a little bit hard at first, just because I'd never really been through something like that. And, but I mean, with my mom and my dad being there, I mean, even my sisters too, I mean, I was just sitting there at home, but I had the whole support system, you know, at my back. So, having them there, and it definitely made that moment a lot easier in terms of getting over that.
And so his dad moved all of his stuff out into the living room, where they could help him kind of get to the bathroom, get food, take care of him out there. And he told him, this is what I think it's going to take to get you back to where you want to be. And Aiden stared at the floor. He was really taking it hard that first 24 hours or so. And as Chris was telling the story, he kind of like tipped his hand that the next morning, Aiden was fine. He said to his dad, I believe you. I believe everything you said about my ankle and what it's going to take, and I'm going to attack my rehab. I will be 100% again. And that's when Chris knew from the very beginning, if I'm going to give Aiden 24 to 36 hours and I bet he's fine. Sure enough, he was fine.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, the kid has surgery on the ankle in November. He is rehabbing, and then by March, he's running. He's back with the team at the end of spring practices in 2021. And by senior year, that all happened as a junior. I mean, how would you even begin to describe the kind of player that Aiden Hutchinson has now transformed into?
Well, everybody thought he was going to be okay, that he was going to pick up right where he left off. But to carry the Star Wars theme through, I mean, he went from like Jedi apprentice to like, oh my God, this is Darth Vader. Like, he was unblockable.
They just got it off and they got stuffed and the ball came out. Richard Newton stopped by Aiden Hutchinson, and Michigan takes over on down.
He was an unstoppable force. He was the rare game-changing defensive lineman in college football. He had 16 and a half tackles for loss. He was on every All-American list, all Big Ten, every trophy you can come up with, the Lombardi, the Hendricks, the Lott, the Nagurski. I mean, he was a front runner for them, or Juan. And so he turned into a player that was really someone that had to be identified on every single play and accounted for. He was unstoppable as a senior.
But the way that a Padawan goes and becomes a credible master, Ryan, I mean, you have to go against Ohio State. And so what happened there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was the Death Star. He invaded the Death Star. Interesting hearing his dad and him talk about it. His dad and him they're so loving towards each other, but also they got that little bit of edge, just enough competitiveness. And his dad just kept saying, you know, you have exactly zero wins against Ohio State, and I had four. and they said it very lovingly, but you better believe Aiden took it serious. And so, and the other thing about this rivalry is like, it's only so long in a rivalry before, if one team wins every year, it's like, well, is this really a rivalry? And Michigan lost eight straight, you know? And so
yes, Harbaugh, his job was on the line because
absolutely,
he had never done the thing that you're describing.
Absolutely. And so the stakes of that were huge. The stakes of getting into the college football playoff were huge. Michigan needed to win that game to assure they'd get in. And so Michigan comes out. Everybody remembers the game probably, but Michigan won 42-27. And Aiden was just, it was ridiculous. It was a video
unstoppable
game. Unstoppable.
C.J. Stroud steps up in the pocket and goes down. Michigan gets pressure. Guess who? Aiden Hutchinson. Sack number 11, which leads the Big Ten. And it's a loss of...
He was an unstoppable force. He at one point mouthed up to his parents in the stands, "They cannot block me," which is a very Jedi, very, very Jedi corralling the force finally. Very Jedi thing to say.
Defense gives. First down at the 38. Stroud again on the play action fake. Steps up, sacked again. Aiden Hutchinson has his third.
He got three total, and so he added one more later in the year, and he ended up with 14 sacks, shattered the record. And most importantly, he beats Ohio State to propel Michigan into their first college football playoff appearance.
Yeah, I remember the scene post-game as vividly as I remember the scene of the game itself. The game, by the way, where I first became acquainted with Aiden Hutchinson in full and the kind of force he's going to be as a professional, because it's delirium, Ryan. I mean, that's not an understatement. The field is stormed. Everybody spills out. It is like the Death Star itself had exploded. And here's everybody like just celebrating deliriously.
Yes, the rise of the resistance. They won. You know, it was pure unadulterated joy. And Aiden told me a funny thing when I was talking to him, which is that he caught himself with about 8 minutes left. He had had this remarkable game and Michigan's going to win, but there's 8 minutes left. And he said, "I was crying."
There was a lot of emotion in that game. I mean, I think I was crying with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter when I could taste it a little bit. You know, I could taste that victory and I couldn't help it. It was just emotions were just, you know, coming out, and the tears were flowing. I was like, "Shit, get it together, Aiden. He's about to go out for another series."
And then he was like, "Oh, I got about 10 more snaps. I got to get my helmet and get back out there and play." So he wiped the tears away and went back out on the field, and they closed it out. They won. And that's when he's telling that story, that was his mom coming through. His mom really believes in the idea of sitting with things, good or bad, sitting with them and processing them. And so they process joy in a way where they actually pause and feel joy. And so he was feeling it on the field there that day. And, you know, what's incredible, you know, as the season wound down, is that like 3 years after writing down that preposterous post-it note.
Yes.
Aiden Hutchinson, a couple weeks after the Ohio State game, gets 78 first place votes in the Heisman and finished second. Finishing second as a defensive player. I'm sorry, he won the Heisman. We're gonna wave him through. It's impossible.
Charles Woodson, right? That's the only guy to ever win the award, and that dude wasn't really even playing exclusively defense, right?
Yeah, you see, he was scoring points. I mean, it was some of his most dynamic, impressive plays were punt returns and his impact on the scoreboard. And so the idea of a defensive end, it's become a skill position, offensive skill position award. The idea that 78 people said this is the best player in the country and he was at the finalist ceremony, it's an incredible honor. It's right up there with winning it. It's something that we are just it's happened three times where a defensive player finished second. I don't know how many times we're going to see it going forward. Aiden Hutchinson is probably going to stand out as one of those guys that is a historic footnote, as somebody who didn't win it, but really was kind of a record-breaking, game-changing player.
All of which makes me wonder now, Ryan, about the goals that Aiden Hutchinson is writing down about the NFL, and I'll ask you that after the break.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Ryan, there is one part of your story that I haven't asked you about yet, but I feel like it does round out the picture of this little kid who has since mushroomed into this game-breaking NFL player. And it's the part about cats.
Yeah, he called his mom not too long ago and said, "Mom, I'm ready to be a cat dad." And his mom was overjoyed because they've rescued animals their whole life. When they described the last like 20 years at the Hutchinson household, it sounds closer to a zoo than a house. They just have brought in, you name it, they've fostered and saved pets from shelters. And so she was very excited when he said he wanted to get cats.
And that is a very psychologically fraught choice, Ryan. I mean, NFL prospects are asked, unironically, at the combine, like, are you a cat or are you a dog?
Well, that's such an interesting window into the draft process, but it's also a window into Aiden Hutchinson. So he went and he got the two cats, Momo and Mitty. He loves them. I mean, he loves them so much. He pointed at them once while I was on a Zoom with him. They're his little furry buddies. But he also said, "I'm not a cat person. I'm not a dog person. I am an animal dad." And so he's going to have lots and lots of pets, just like he grew up in a household of animals. And, you know, he shared this very poignant moment where he said to his mom, they had so many animals as kids, and a lot of them he has outlived. And it was heartbreaking when they would have to take a dog in or a cat in. And he asked his mom, like, why do we do this? Like, why do we, like, we know they're going to die and we're not going to have them.
And then she kind of just told me it's better to love someone than to never love at all. So I heard that. I was like, damn, well, that's how you do it right there. And you kind of have these animals for different parts of your life and they're there for you. And yes, that goodbye is so freaking hard. But I think just the moments you have with them, you know, kind of you're in that period of time of your life, I think, you know, it makes it all worth it.
And that has stuck with Aiden Hutchinson to this day.
Yeah, his childhood, Ryan, Aiden Hutchinson's childhood has clearly formed so many of the stories that you've told us here. And I'm curious now, I mean, the one question that I have to ask at the end is, what goals is he writing down now as he heads off into the NFL?
I ask him that directly, and he paused for a moment, kind of like looked off into the distance, and he's like, you know, I don't think I'm ready to say them publicly yet.
I'm definitely keeping that to myself right now, but, you know, you think of, you know, where I want to be in terms of the NFL and, you know, what you got to do to get there, and, you know, that's what I'm thinking about.
And as he said it, I realized the point isn't the specific goals that he's writing down, probably. It's that he's writing them down to begin with. So as he was like, I'm going to keep them under my vest for now. I was just like, okay, this guy's, whatever he's writing down, he's totally going to do it. I don't know how many Super Bowls he's going to pencil in or how many All Pros, but like, I think you can bank on them. It's he's going to write them down and it's going to happen.
Ryan Hockensmith, full-fledged national sports writer. Thank you for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. And before we let you go here, just wanted to let you know that today is the last day to vote for us in the Webby Awards, where we are nominated for Best Sports Podcast. There's a link on my Twitter account at Pablo Torre, or you can just go to vote.webbyawards.com and search for ESPN Daily. We appreciate you. We thank you. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.